Feel my knee service. Now it's working. I'm gonna need a new one. Because in Bhagavatam it says that Putana got a position like Mother Yashoda for being a nurse. And elsewhere it also says that some of the demons, not all, but some of the demons that Krishna kills, they get either form like his, or they go to the spiritual world. Often they just get liberation, and they enter into Brahmajyoti. But sometimes they get like Keshi becomes a horse. But Rupa Goswami said, and so it still sounds like you're just as well off being a demon as you are being a devotee. But the Rupa Goswami quotes from Brahmanda Purana. He quotes from Brahmanda Purana, where he says that essentially it means that the demons, they enjoy the bliss of Brahmanda. So they enjoy Brahmanda. So those demons who go to Goloka, he says, they don't enjoy Ragatmika Bhakti, they only enjoy Brahmanda. So Putana only gets Brahmananda in the spiritual world. She doesn't get. And he says, and also there are some mystics and yogis, Shanta Bhaktas, they also enjoy Brahmananda, but they don't enjoy real prema. So that was
very interesting.
To really, Prabhupada says, study from all angles of vision. Okay, so someone's got a question.
This is a question by Rajiv. He says, please help me understand the reason for emphasis on Varnashrama in various ISKCON discussions and lectures in the context of the following seemingly paradoxical teachings of Lord Gauranga to Sri Ramananda Rai. Quote, when he met Sri Ramananda Rai on the bank of the Godavari, the Varnashrama Dharma followed by the Hindus was mentioned by the Lord. Sri Ramananda Rai said that by following the principles of Varnashrama Dharma, the system of four castes and four orders of human life, everyone could realize transcendence. In the opinion of the Lord, the system of Varnashrama Dharma is superficial only, and it has very little to do with the highest realization of spiritual values. The highest perfection of life is to get detached from material attachment and proportionately realize the transcendental loving service of the Lord.
It's very simple, and actually this issue is discussed not only by Srila Prabhupada, but Bhaktivinoda Thakur and others. Lord Chaitanya's question was, tell me about sadhana and sadhya. So from the perspective of Varnashram being sadhana with the sadhya of samsiddhi haritoshanam, this is not the ultimate goal of life. And neither is this the process of achieving the ultimate goal of life. Varnashram is a process of a Vedic process of elevating human beings to the mode of goodness, in which the practice of devotional service becomes very conducive. Of its own, and on its own, it's not the process of sadhana bhakti. It's just a conducive situation for a process of sadhana bhakti, and neither is just pleasing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because it's a very general statement. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have love, though, but you're pleasing Him. Many people can please Him by different things. So prema is the ultimate means of pleasing Him. So in that way, it's external. It's like someone asks you, you know, what's the best way to be Krishna? How do you attain perfection? Live in the temple. That's not true. Living in the temple isn't the means to attain perfection. It's a question of what you do when you're in the temple that's going to determine. It's a fact that living in the temple is very conducive for attaining perfection. But attaining perfection isn't done by living in a temple. It's done by Shravanam Kirtanam. And it's done by Shravanam Kirtanam without offense. Or better yet, ultimately with love. And that's how you attain the goal of life, which is to attain Krishna's lotus feet. So it's a contextual statement that has to be understood. It doesn't mean that Varnashram is not relevant. Just like living in a temple is not relevant. But it's by no means the self-sufficient process of sadhana or the means for attaining the ultimate goal of life.
Okay.
Something else?
The next question is by Adokshaja Krishna Prabhu. He says, recently we have been reading in Srimad Bhagavatam that Mother Ganges was not inclined to descend despite King Bhagiran's appeals. She did not want the contamination from sinful people bathing in her.
I tend to think that I answered this question once already.
I don't remember.
Okay, anyway, go ahead. But I think so. May have not been removed.
She was reassured that great souls would come and bathe also, and that would relieve the burden of sinful reactions. The question is, do the great souls that bathe in the Ganges receive the path of sinful people who bathe in her? Or are the saintly so powerful that they are unaffected by sins of those who come in touch with them? And is Mother Ganga also not a pure devotee? And if so, why does she show fear of suffering for others' sins?
Srila Prabhupada, at a certain point when he became sick, and Prabhupada explained that the spiritual master accepts the karma of the disciple, and that karma will come in different ways. Something Krishna will give depending on the nature of the spiritual master. If he's a conditioned soul, then his own spiritual life may be affected, or he may be tempted by desires, material desires. Prabhupada says he may see bad dreams. If a liberated soul, he may get some sickness. And Prabhupada on different times said that he was sick because of the sinful activities of his disciples. Anyway, but at a certain point in 77, Prabhupada told devotees that when he was, for instance, going to a program or other things like that, that people shouldn't touch his feet. And that sort of became a general practice because Prabhupada didn't want to be burdened with any more karma, which is what happens when people touch your feet. So even though Ganga Devi is very powerful, still, ultimately, it's only Krishna who is independent of other people's sinful reactions. And so devotees are careful not to be excessively burdened by the karma of many people. And a lot of people bathe in Ganga Devi. It's more than just accepting a few disciples. So she then gets the blessing that great souls, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his associates, acharyas, great devotees, and of course any devotee will take karma, because taking karma isn't just something that happens between devotees. When devotees are taking karma or others, everyone takes other people's karma. It's just a question of what they do with them. So if someone is, depending on how spiritually powerful, someone is able to burn off that amount, proportional amount of karma. So great devotees will be able to free not only Mother Ganges, but holy places, places of pilgrimage. Tirtha Kurvanta Tirthani Svantasthena Gadavita. Great devotees purify places of pilgrimage as well, not just holy waters. But some price to pay for everything, and so even symbolically, Gopinath of Agardwip, he changes color just to show that he's also accepting past karma of Govinda Ghosh Thakur, although he doesn't have any karma anyway. So that's part of the reality of being in the world, is that one is always affected by something, and still ultimate purifying thing, the ultimate shelter, is the holy name. And if one bathes in the holy nectar of the holy name, then that frees one from these things. Still, everyone's careful. And that's why Lord Chaitanya says, Bahu Shishana Karib, don't accept too many disciples, because you have to deal with their karma. So even Ganga Devi is worried about that. And anything else?
This is my own question, Guruji. In his commentary to Bhagavatam 7.15.18, Prabhupada says that satisfaction is only a matter of practice, and that unfortunately, however, no one is educated in how to be satisfied in self-realization. Could you kindly elaborate on what this practice would mean?
Well, I don't know exactly what that context is, but
the verse is that those who are satisfied are like those who wear shoes on a road where there are thorns, so they're always happy and they don't have problems in life.
Yeah, so then that's very similar to the 30 qualities that we talked about in the 7th canto, Krishna talks about being self-satisfied in Bhagavad Gita many times. In other words, that people are just satisfied with what comes by the arrangement of the Lord without extraneous effort. They're satisfied with their karma, they're satisfied with the lifestyle that Krishna arranges for them. They're satisfied by who they're living with, who their friends are, who their spouse is, what house they have. They don't go out of their way to get any extraneous things. And so people like that, then what is the example? That sounds very nice. They're like walking on the road with shoes?
Yes, so there are thorns on the shoes.
In other words, then all of these things don't bother you, because this dissatisfaction, which comes from material desires and so on, they then cause, they're like thorns, they cause so much disturbance. We think that, oh, if I satisfy these, then I'll be all right. But actually, the real result is that you just become entangled in a material network, and they become a cause of so many problems. Whereas tolerance, titikshila, then that's the prime characteristic of a sadhubhushanam. Titikshila karunika, sadhubhushanam. So the devotee's tolerant and he's satisfied. Okay, this is my lot. Then I'll just accept that.
So the practice is just being conscious of these things? Because you said it's a matter of practice.
Yeah, don't over-endeavor. You know, you have to endeavor for, we have to work. Someone has to work. I'm working 8 hours a day. When I'm only getting so much, I can only afford one meal a day. Well, I could work 12 hours a day, but then I won't have time to chant my japa. I won't have time to worship deity. I won't have time to... So then, no, I'll just eat one meal a day instead. If Krishna wants me to eat 3 times a day, then it'll come from that 8 hours work. And if Krishna doesn't want me to eat, then I'll just accept the one meal a day.
Thank you.
And if one can do that mental adjustment, then he becomes peaceful. Because it's not guaranteed that you get 3 meals from working 12 hours. You may have to work 18 hours. And then in the ultimate issue, if that's the karma, then sometime later, all of those extra 2 meals a day that you got are going to end up being in no meals a day later on. So better live according to Krishna's arrangement. Hare Krishna.